Much to be grateful for. Just as the song said, we have to be grateful for the fellowship with the Lord and fellowship with each and every one of you. You know, sometimes you just want to just get with the Lord and just, you know, try to forget about the fact that we're here in these physical bodies and just kind of meet the Lord spirit to spirit. And I know for me this morning I was listening to a song entitled Take Me Into the Holy of Holies. And it's just, you know, I close my eyes and I just think about just, you know, we're there. It's not like the Old Testament where we had to go through all these rituals, you know, to get to before the Lord. We can just do it anytime, no matter where we are. So let us begin with a word of prayer. So Lord, you're real. You're alive. And we thank you for giving us this word, which is life to us. We need it to live the kind of life that you want us to have. So this morning, as we delve into the last chapter of 1 Thessalonians, I ask that you would just awaken their hearts and their minds, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, speak to them through this word, using me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Okay. So last week, what's beginning to be called a poll question. I didn't call it that, but somebody did. And I said, you know what, that's a good way to refer to it. The question was, would you rather know that someone really loves you, but you never get to be with them, or would you rather get to share your life with someone, but that person does not love you? Now, that's an interesting question, one that I think depends on the person. We know from Paul's teaching in 1 Corinthians that being single is actually a good thing. But if someone's burning with lust, it's better for them to get married. Then there's Proverbs 30:23, which points to a person who never has experienced love and is finally able to land a husband. However, her bitterness for the long journey is so entrenched in her that she becomes haughty and takes this out on others. We have poetry and music that's tried to supply us with answers. For those who want to straddle the line, they're the lyrics of that song, Love the One You're With. And for those of you into poetry, of course, you've heard it, better to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all. For me and another I heard from, I will say that it would just be too hard to spend a lifetime with someone who does not love me. Part of the reason I crafted this question was to give thought to the reasons we do what we do when it comes to sex and love. We typically decide based on what's right for us, like I did, not necessarily the other person. So I just think we need to do more of that, thinking of others, and certainly consulting the Lord. And, I mean, if you want to think more about that, just check out the book of Hosea. Okay, today I offer a poll question. As a poll question, would you rather buy 10 things you don't need every time you go shopping or always forget the one thing you need when you do go to the store? I'll bring it up a little bit later. So as we move into this final chapter of the letter to the Thessalonians, let's review. We learned that this is a letter from Paul with the sentiment and support of Timothy and Silas to the church at Thessalonica. This was a group of believers that Paul influenced. Indeed, he brought the good news message of Jesus being the Messiah to them, and they believed. Unfortunately, Paul's time with them was cut short when he and Silas were driven out of town. But it was his plan to return and check up on them. However, that was not even possible. Finally, when it sunk in that he could not go back and he couldn't take it any longer, he sent Timothy to check up on them. Timothy found them where we should all hope the Lord finds us, that is, in faith and striving to live godly. The overall report was a good one, as recorded in chapter 3 and some passages in chapter 4 and 5, where Paul reinforces advice but then adds, as you are doing. Paul said that they were strong in the faith and not engaging in pagan practices. And so he wrote them an encouraging, nurturing, and strengthening letter. He wrote with the heart of a parent who wants to see his children do well. He highlighted what they were doing right, including being an example to all the believers in Greece, receiving and accepting the message as the very word of God, living in a way that is pleasing to God, showing their love for all the believers throughout Macedonia, building one another up, and being strong in the faith. Paul urged them to continue in that regard. Paul also wrote as one with authority, the authority which comes from the Lord. So after a greeting of encouragement, nurturing, and strengthening, as chronicled in chapters 1 to 4, Paul starts telling them what living for the Lord looks like. Aren't you glad that the Lord has given us this word so we know what to do? I've heard it said that the acronym BIBLE stands for Basic Instruction Before Leaving the Earth. And we can certainly see instructions on how to live our lives as it pertains to others and regarding sex in chapter 4. We could see from those scriptures that we ought not take advantage of others by conning them into sex. You know, because we're supposed to love others. I had an epiphany last week. I like that word, epiphany. I don't know why. I like saying it. But I also like the concept. It's when you have an aha moment. That is, you really, really get something figured out in a way that will always stay with you. So my epiphany moment was translating what it means to really love others as you love yourself, according to Leviticus 19:18, and love others even as Jesus has loved me, according to John 13:34. It came after I was processing something I had said in my class. It was a rough subject, and I was regretting even raising a particular crime because it really hit home to some of them. When I reflected on it, most of my thoughts were on me. But then as I started figuring out how to revisit the topic in a manner that would be helpful when they started practicing professionally, my thoughts turned from me exclusively to them. My entire mental state shifted. But that's what happens when you do things the way the Lord wants. I think not just as a teacher, but as a person, it's essential to decrease your thinking about how things will affect you and instead on others. I want this to become second nature to me. I'm a long way from there, programming myself so that whenever I start looking at a situation from my own perspective and how I feel about it, I'm going to talk to the Lord and ask him to guide me to the other side of seeing things the way he wants me to see them, to move from selfish to selfless. Not only is it the right thing to do, but it will bring you peace. And what better way to represent the Lord? John 13:35 says that when we love others the way the Lord has instructed, we prove to the world we are his disciples. So we see here Paul, Timothy, and Silas proving they are disciples of the Lord by teaching despite the persecution. As we move into chapter 5, we continue to see Paul speaking through his writing with authority from the Lord from a place of selflessness. We will see in chapter 5 that every piece of advice offered is selfless. So let's read the chapter, and we will get into these awesome pieces of basic instruction we can follow before leaving Earth. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. Now, concerning how and when all this will happen, dear brothers and sisters, we don't really need to write you, for you know quite well that the day of the Lord's return will come unexpectedly like a thief in the night. When people are saying, everything is peaceful and secure, then disaster will fall on them as suddenly as a pregnant woman's labor pains begin, and there will be no escape. But you aren't in the dark about these things, dear brothers and sisters, and you won't be surprised when the day of the Lord comes like a thief. For you are all children of the light and of the day. We don't belong to darkness and night. So be on your guard, not asleep like the others. Stay alert and be clear-headed. Night is the time when people sleep and drinkers get drunk. But let us who live in the light be clear-headed, protected by the armor of faith and love, and wearing as our helmet the confidence of our salvation. For God chose to save us through our Lord Jesus Christ, not to pour out his anger on us. Christ died for us so that whether we are dead or alive when he returns, we can live with him forever. So encourage each other and build each other up, just as you are already doing. Dear brothers and sisters, honor those who are your leaders in the Lord's work. They work hard among you and give you spiritual guidance. Show them great respect and wholehearted love because of their work, and live peacefully with each other. Brothers and sisters, we urge you to warn those who are lazy. Encourage those who are timid. Take tender care of those who are weak. Be patient with everyone. See that no one pays back evil for evil, but always try to do good to each other and to all people. Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Do not stifle the Holy Spirit. Do not scoff at prophecies, but test everything that is said. Hold on to what is. Stay away from every kind of evil. Now may the God of peace make you holy in every way, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless until our Lord Jesus comes again. God will make this happen.
for he who calls you is faithful. Dear brothers and sisters, pray for us. Greet all the brothers and sisters with a sacred kiss. I command you in the name of the Lord to read this letter to all the brothers and sisters. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. As we're getting into the text I just read, let's stop for a moment and remember context. The Thessalonians lived in a relatively open culture where idolatry and sexual sin was prevalent. Does that sound familiar? Every individual is born and lives in a time where certain cultural ways of doing things take place. We refer to it as the world. We were born into sin and shaped in iniquity, and the culture plays a big part in that shaping. The question is whether we are going to go along to get along. Are we going to conform to or copy the customs of this world, or do as Romans 12:2 says, which is to let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think? That's the key. We permit God to transform our minds. So if that means reading the same scripture over and over and asking the Holy Spirit to guide you to an epiphany, it's worth it. Living the word means we have to change the way we do things, which means we have to change the way we see things. I knew and understood that I'm expected to love others as Jesus loves me, but I was rather casual about it. I told you before, I aim to be more intentional in my life. And what better place to start than on a foundation of selflessness? I actually wrote that what doing John 13:34 means in a formula that I can understand on an index card, and I posted it on my desk to help me focus. Okay, so the beginning of chapter 5 is a continuation of chapter 4. Starting in verse 13 of chapter 4, Paul explains what happens when we die. In verse 14, he reminds us that Jesus is not dead. He was raised to life, and he's coming back. Oh, my goodness, is that not really good news? So Jesus is alive right now, and there is a plan about what happens when we die. Verse 14 goes on to say that when Jesus returns, God will bring back with him the believers who have died. So right here, we can find that comfort he mentioned in verse 13, that since we know what is going to happen, we should not grieve like people who have no hope. Makes sense? So that's the reassurance for those who have gone on before us. Okay, this next part in verse 15, I had some questions about, and that was before I fully absorbed him saying, we tell you this directly from the Lord. I was looking at some of the reference scriptures like Matthew 24:30 and Revelation 11:12. But what was puzzling to me was that Paul wrote this letter in AD 51, which is before the book of Matthew was written. And really, God only knows whether Revelation to John was not available for this reading pleasure either. So where did it come from? Well, we know that Jesus had walked the earth before Paul wrote this, and the apostles were teaching what Jesus said and did even before the scriptures were written. So this could have been something that was passed on to him, or he could have gotten it directly from the Lord. We know that Paul had a direct, real encounter with the Lord as recorded in Acts 9, and that he spent time with the Lord in the desert of Arabia as noted in the book of Galatians. So we have it on good authority that he was speaking about something directly said by the Lord, whether it was when he walked the earth or directly to Paul, or both. So passing on what he got from the Lord, Paul goes on to provide some assurance for those who are still alive. Have you wondered what happens if Jesus returns and you're still alive? Well, starting at verse 15, Paul lets us know when Jesus returns from heaven, it will be with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God. Wow, just imagine how majestic that will be. You've seen scenes on television when a royal arrives. There's much fanfare, but none of that compares to this. A commanding shout from heaven, the voice of the archangel, the trumpet of God. Never hearing any of these before, I can only imagine that it will blow our minds. So as this out of this world, but visible to this world, occurrence is happening, believers who have died will rise from their graves, and those of us who are still alive will together with them be caught up into the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. If the image of the pronouncement of Jesus' second return didn't seem amazing to you, imagine that scene. But more important than what we will see and the quick journey of being transported to heaven is what happens next. It says after we meet the Lord in the air, we will be with the Lord forever, forever. Yes, just as Paul says, these are encouraging words. So Paul continues this message about what we call the rapture I put in some context on when it's going to occur. Yes, we are some curious creatures. We're always asking and wanting to know when something is going to happen, especially if we're looking forward to it. Starting in verse 1, to be quite honest, I think Paul is saying it's really not any of our business. And it really isn't any of our business when the Lord returns. But Paul suggests that we use that knowledge as a reason to always be ready. Consider when you caught a bus or a taxi. First, there's a mutual understanding that you can expect the transport vehicle to arrive within an established time frame. Sometimes they're early, but often they're late. Still, you're expecting to be waiting, usually outside as you anticipate their arrival. Have you noticed that usually there's some eye contact made between the driver and you, communicating a silent exchange? Here you acknowledge your roles as driver and passenger. From there, you board and are on your way. Your being ready at the curb is rewarded. Who would you say is really in charge in the driver's seat in that scenario? I would say it's the driver. It's impossible to be transported unless the driver does his or her part. But how will the driver even know that you need a ride? Usually there's some type of dispatching service that communicates your need to the driver. In our lightning speed ride to heaven, Jesus is in the driver's seat. But how do we all know when this ticket to heaven is going to be punched? We don't. Only the Father knows. Paul tells them in verse 2 that the Lord's return would be unexpected, like a thief in the night. He says it's going to be so unexpectedly that it will be during a time when people are saying that everything is peaceful and secure. But just because it is sudden doesn't mean it won't be noticeable. It will be like shock and awe. It says disaster will fall and there will be no escape. But we who are believers in Christ should not be surprised. We know that a ride to heaven is coming. Verse 9 says that God chose to save us through our Lord Jesus Christ. God is the dispatcher. And when the time comes, he will not pour his wrath out on us. Whether we be dead or alive, when Jesus arrives, we're out. Is that not one of the most comforting things to know? It should be. We're all reminded in verse 8 that we are protected by the armor of faith and love, and wear as our helmet the confidence of our salvation. Look, I'm not recommending that you worry about anything, but especially not worrying about what happens when we die or when Jesus comes back. There is no need to fret about that. Of course, there are those who will still fret about when all of this is going to happen. Well, I think the phrase that we should live like every day is our last would have application here. If we want to be ready when the Lord comes back, then we need to be living the way he says we should. So about that poll question of would you rather buy 10 things you don't need every time you go shopping or always forget the one thing that you need when you go into the store, this teaching helps get this in perspective. It totally annoys me when I go into the dollar store and come out with all of that stuff I don't need. But it's even more annoying to forget the one thing I do need. We cannot forget that we need to be ready to catch that ride, right? Again, I'm not saying you have to be perfect. God forgives our sins. But don't you want to be picked up as if you are ready and waiting as opposed to just doing your own thing? Verse 5 calls us children of the light and of the day. Verse 6 says that we should be on guard to stay alert and be clear-headed. We need to be watchful and ready to catch that ride. Okay. I've said it before. Just let's just endeavor and commit to want to be ready. Let's look at some of the ways we can be caught living the way God wants us to live. Verses 12 to 22 gives us a list. Notice that in many cases, Paul doesn't just tell us what to do, but how to do it. So the list includes the following. Number 1, honor those who are your leaders in the Lord's work. They work hard among you and give you spiritual guidance. Show them great respect and wholehearted love because of their work. That's pretty straightforward. Listen, leaders are people too. They can get discouraged and not want to be leaders. Here, he is telling us to consider the work our leaders are doing. Know that they're doing things for us based on what the Lord tells them. They could be doing something else. They could choose not to answer the call. So their work for the Lord is worthy of our respect. Number 2, live peacefully with each other. Live peacefully. Paul actually brought this up before in verse 1, Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 11, where it says, make it your goal to live a quiet life, minding your own business.
This is a huge tip for how to live peacefully. My grandmother used to say that you cannot mind my business and yours. Much of the strife that comes up in life is when we overstep our boundaries and start telling a person what to do. Even when we catch a brother or sister in disobedience, we need to tread lightly. Galatians 6:1 says we should restore them gently. And I have found if I can focus on saying what saith the Lord as opposed to what saith June, it's less threatening. This applies to the next one on the list, too. 3, warn those who are lazy. The other part of 1 Thessalonians 4:11 says, work with your hands. I'm thinking the whole concept of I can show you better than I can tell you applies here. If you work, you'll get paid, and you'll have stuff. Those who are lazy can see the difference in your life versus theirs. So just recognize that the word here is warn, not nag. If a warning is given right, that's clear for the hearer to hear, like say, watch out for the hole, the warning will be heeded. 4, encourage those who are timid. Do you know someone who is timid? Sometimes it's based on a lack of confidence, afraid to do something or speak up when they should. Again, nagging does not work. If someone's lacking confidence, you need to coach them. Help them along like Paul did with this letter. He complimented them on what they were doing right. He looked for where they may needed to grow, and he nurtured them, as we spoke about in the week 2 teaching. 5, take tender care of those who are weak. Paul modeled this also in his letter. He was concerned about them being weak in the faith, and he sought to strengthen them. How to tend to the weak? It says take tender care. So we need to be gentle. Have you ever seen anyone trying to coax a weakened animal so they could be helped? Showing up loud and aggressive, even with the intent to help, is not going to work. They will retreat and run away. These folks are already possibly at a low point, so we have to approach them the right way. 6, be patient with everyone. Easier said than done, but we need to try. And notice it says everyone. So people who annoy you are included in everyone, right? 7, no one pay back evil for evil, but always try to do good to each other and to all people. Again, a tall order, but not if we think of Jesus as the standard. We did terrible, evil things to him. He was beat, spat on, nailed to a cross, stripped of his clothes. Need I go on? Yet he did not repay evil for evil. In fact, he said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I'm not saying you will not be tempted to repay evil for evil, but either we're going to live the way God wants us to or not. Don't fool yourself by saying that God does not mind me getting even, because he does. Paul points out that this all people again. So this applies not just to the people you know and care about, but to everyone. 8, always be joyful. But you would say, sometimes I don't feel like being joyful. Okay, just think about Jesus and what he did for you. Works every time for me. But I have to drop my pity party first and go there. 9, never stop praying. Enough said, right? Talking to God will pull you out of any type of mood that will land you in disobedience. But you have to speak to him. He's always there waiting. You will never get a busy signal. 10, be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Notice he said in all circumstances, not for all circumstances. We do not have to be grateful for evil, but we should be grateful that God is there in any circumstance that we face. 11, do not stifle the Holy Spirit. Oh, boy. I shudder to think about how often I do this. I grieve the Holy Spirit quite a bit whenever I sin. On top of that, I could be stifling the Holy Spirit. How do you do that? Another word in other translations is quench. The Holy Spirit is often referred to as a fire, so we do not want to put out that fire. So here's the concern in churches. Sometimes someone is operating by the power of the Holy Spirit, and because they're not doing things the way we think they should be doing, we quench that Holy Spirit. Maybe they're from another generation. And along comes somebody who shuts them down. In addition to not getting the blessing that God intended, it could be discouraging to that believer. 12, do not scoff at prophecies, but test everything that is said. We should neither believe everything that is said or reject everything that is said. We should test it, meaning we should check it in accordance with the word of God. If someone comes up to you and says that God told them that you were supposed to go half and half with them and buying some guns to sell on the black market, what would you say? hopefully no, and you would recognize the work to be evil, contrary to Ephesians 5 and 11, which says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. I also say drop a dime on it, too. That's just a whole other subject. And 13, hold on to what is good. Stay away from every kind of evil. This is an extension of what we've already said. So, yes, that's a lot. But each of them are encapsulated in the two commandments that Jesus gave, which are to love God and love each other. If we can really grab a hold of them, we have a guidebook to do right. Well, we've come to the end of our teaching on 1 Thessalonians. Hopefully you've recognized lots of food for thought and reflection. And if you decide there's only room enough to remember one thing, let it be the key verse, which is 1 Thessalonians 4:14. We believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again. We also believe that when Jesus returns, God will bring back with him the believers who have died. Amen. Amen. So I'll bet you're going to celebrate tomorrow on Easter, also known as Resurrection Sunday, right? Well, if you are, please take someone to church with you so they hear the good news too. Maybe it's the day when that watering and planting that you've done will be increased by God right before your very eyes and they get saved. I can tell you that when you see a soul saved, it's a beautiful thing and heaven's rejoicing too. So be blessed, everyone. Thanks for tuning in, and I know one of my brothers and sisters in Christ will continue on the teaching in 2 Thessalonians next Saturday, and Kathy's on deck. Take it away.
Hey, Sister Rogers, that was a very good lesson. Basic instructions you just gave, the 13, they're like basic instructions. And wouldn't that be great if we could just start our day, each day with each one of those?
Amen. Definitely.
Yeah, that's a good instruction.
We want to be ready for that ride.
Yeah. It's better to be ready than not to be ready. Can't lose.
There you go.
You can't lose being ready.
Mm-mm.
Yes. Okay. Thank you so much. You know, and I always forget what I go get when I'm going to the store. I always forget the main thing that I'm going to get, and I hate that. And I get everything else and forget the main thing that I go get. That's me all the time. I hate it.
Well, you know, Jonathan has that phrase. He says, remember to keep the main thing, the main thing.
The main thing, and the main thing.
It's all about Jesus. Oh,
right.
Yeah.
What if you can't remember? Yeah. that's like. Oh, yes, it is. It's all about Jesus. He'll help us remember.
There you go. Happy anniversary.
Yes. Thank you, Sister Rogers. Good lesson as always. It's just, hey, I hope everybody got something out of that. You know, we appreciate you. You know, thank you for your faithfulness to the word. And, you know, we just appreciate you and just had the best day ever.
You too.
Okay, thank you. All right. Get your tea, your coffee, your cookie, your crumpet. And after this next song selection, we will start our service. See you on the other side of this song. All right?
Take me through the outer courts into the holy place, past the brazen altar. Lord, I want to see your face. Pass me by the crowd of people and the priests who sing your praise. But it's only found one place. Take me into the holy of holies. Take me in by the blood of the Lamb. Take me into the holy. take the cold, touch my lips, here I
April, and this is an exciting month. You know why? Because Runner for Christ Ministries is celebrating their 19-year church anniversary, doing a good work for the Lord, teaching, learning, and doing. Congratulations, Pastor Gerald M. Overall, Awesome O, Lady Sheila Overall, and the Runner for Christ Ministry family. Congratulations. He is risen, and this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It's a good day to be alive, and we just thank God for another day's journey. Good morning, and welcome, Blog Talk listeners all around this beautiful world, to Runner for Christ Ministry Saturday Morning Worship Service. I am Kathy Clyburn, your presiding person for this Saturday Morning Worship Experience. Brought to you by Runner for Christ Ministries, a church of teaching, learning, and doing. We thank God for each and every one of you who tune in regularly, and we ask that you tell someone else that this Saturday worship service is happening. As always, we will start out with scripture and prayer, and at Runner for Christ Ministries, we believe is vital, and the Word of God tells us so. And all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. And we have this morning to help us do so is our very own Sister Deaconess Loretta Welch. Good morning, and thank you for being with us.
Thank you, thank you. It's always a pleasure to serve the Lord in this way.
Amen.
As she said, good morning. My name is Deaconess Loretta Welch, and I will be bringing you the scripture for Resurrection Weekend. Amen. And this scripture is coming from Matthew 27, 32 through 61, and it is titled, The Crucifixion, Death, and Burial of Jesus. And it reads as follows. Along the way, they came across a man named Simon who was from Cyrene, and the soldiers forced him to carry Jesus' cross. And they went out to a place called Golgotha, which means place of skulls. The soldiers gave Jesus wine mixed with bitter gall. When he had tasted it, he refused to drink it. After they had nailed him to the cross, the soldiers gambled for his clothes by throwing dice. They sat down and kept guard as he hung there, a sign fastened above Jesus' head announcing the charge against him. It read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Two revolutionaries were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. The people passing by shouted abuse, shaking their heads in mockery. "Look at you now," they yelled. "You said that you were going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days? Well then, if you are the Son of God, save yourself and come down from the cross." The leading priests, the teachers of religious law, and the elders also mocked Jesus. "He saved others," they scoffed, "but he can't save himself. So is he the King of Israel? Is he? Let him come down from the cross right now, and we will believe in him. He trusted God, so let God rescue him if he wants him. For he said, I am the Son of God." Even the revolutionaries who were crucified with him ridiculed him in the same way. At noon, darkness fell across the whole land until 3 o'clock. About 3 o'clock, Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you abandoned me?" Some of the bystanders misunderstood and thought he was calling for the prophet Elijah. One of them ran and filled a sponge with sour wine, holding it up to him on a reed stick so he could drink. But the rest said, "Wait, let's see whether Elijah comes to save him." Then Jesus shouted out again, and he released his spirit. At that moment, the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn in two. From the top to bottom, the earth shook, rocks split apart, and tombs opened. The bodies of many godly men and women who had died were raised from the dead. They left the cemetery after Jesus' resurrection and went into the holy city of Jerusalem and appeared to many people. The Roman officer said, the Roman officer and the other soldiers at the crucifixion were terrified by the earthquake and all that had happened. They said, "This man truly was the Son of God." And many women who had come from Galilee with Jesus to care for him were watching from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of James and John, the sons of Zebedee. As evening approached, Joseph, a rich man from Arimathea, had become a follower of Jesus, went to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. And Pilate issued an order to release it to him. Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a long sheet of clean linen cloth. He placed it in his own new tomb, which had been carved out of the rock. Then he rolled a great stone across the entrance and left. Both Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were sitting across from the tomb and watching. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today for this opportunity to once again offer up to you some much-deserved praise and thanksgiving. Lord, we thank you for life, love, family, friendship, and fellowship. We ask that you fill with your Holy Spirit everyone who will take part in this worship service. We ask that you hear and answer the prayers of faith that are lifted up to you by your people. Lord, we ask that you heal the sick and comfort the many bereaved. We ask that you bless the preacher with a word from you for all of us to hear and obey. We ask that Jesus Christ be lifted in song, prayer, and the preached word so that all those who are lost will be found. Dear Father, we thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and it is in his mighty and wonderful name that we ask these blessings. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you for the scripture and prayer, Deaconess Loretta. We appreciate you and have a great day.
Uh-huh, and you do the same.
Thank you. All right. Now that we have acknowledged our ways into the Lord, we will continue to be ministered with our song selection service with our very own shepherd, Pastor O. Take it away, Pastor O.
Let you down, right? Whoa. should be clear. So if you know him to be your father and he cares for you, come on and stand on your feet and help me pray for me here. Come on.
He was willing to give up his life for us, and we ought to be willing to do what that word kenosis means, a self-emptying. You know what Paul talked about in Philippians chapter 3. He said he wanted to know the power of Christ in his resurrection. What he meant was, I want to be able to tell God yes in a time when I want to say no. It's a wonderful and awesome thing, amen, to be children of God and to be reminded every year of the sacrifice that was made for us. It ought to take our self-esteem through the roof that the Lord was willing to give up his son Jesus. And if you really knew what happened when Jesus said, why, you know, when Loretta read, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, when she read that, that meant that God had to separate himself from his son from eternity, who he had never been separated from. Theologians today still trying to figure out what divide really happened. But it happened. Because all the sins of mankind was placed on Jesus. From Adam until the end of the tribulation period, even people who are not going to get saved, he still died for them. And so all the sins of the world was placed on him. And guess what? He did that just for you, just for me.
What does the cross of Jesus mean? It's more than songs we sing, much more than that emblem on your chain. But it means I'm free, yes, from the chains of slavery. And the blood it shed won't let my sins remain. Oh my, upon the cross my Savior died. The Lamb was crucified. Showed us love that this world
mother had never known. Oh, what love divine, so divine, true love you never find. So that we might live, love came and died alone. Hallelujah. Well, the cross will always wear the love God had for me. When the Lord of glory had gave all on Calvary, he did it just for me.
Unselfishly died on Calvary. Oh, how you gave your life for me. Bruised, scorned, crowned your head with thorns. No greater love performed for me. Nailed in your hands, nailed in your feet, pierced in your side. Could barely breathe, could have came down, yet you remain standing in awe of the price you paid. I never knew of a love so
Thank you. Thank you. Pastor, as always, you took us there, and we just want to thank you for those blessings and songs of faith and testimony. Our hearts are truly been moved and encouraged. Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Which takes us to time to talk to God, the only one who can meet all our needs. Come to the altar with all your cares and concerns, because there is power in prayer. Following this selection, the next voice you will have the pleasure of hearing is the beautiful spirited woman of God, Associate Pastor Janine Folks, offering prayer and petitioning God on our behalf. Meet us at the altar and prepare to receive Associate Pastor Janine Folks. Pray to the Lord. Amen.
Help me to wait on you. Help me to gonna wait until I hear from you. I wait for you to see me through. I hide in your word and know it's true. Stand still till you tell me to move. I'm gonna wait until I hear from you. Help me to wait for you to see me through. I hide in your word and know it's true. Stand still and wait until I hear from you. Lord, help me to wait on you patiently. And Lord, help me to seek your face while I'm waiting. Let any of your word be anxious for nothing. So I'll continue serving you. Yes, I'll continue praising you.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Lord, we thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for waking us up, Lord, on this holy Saturday to see another resurrection weekend. Lord, we thank you. And we thank you for the whole holy weekend ordeal and what it brought to us. This is the reason. This is our why. And we thank you for on that Friday when Jesus died that the veil was torn from top to bottom so that we would have direct access to you, that we could come before the throne as we are right now. Lord, we come so humbly, Lord, and we yet come boldly, Lord, before you, knowing that you will hear our cries, that you will hear our petitions. And Lord, we know this day was a day when Jesus was dead, when he was in the tomb, and there was so much uncertainty and so many unanswered questions, so much that was unknown. And there are some people experiencing those feelings right now in certain situations that they don't know what the outcome is going to be, because we're at the darkest point. Even though light is right around the corner, we don't know it yet. We don't know that tomorrow brings new hope. We don't know, because we're in the midst of despair. And Lord, we just pray that you would comfort us in our despair and just remind us of who you are. Remind us of the hope that you bring. And Lord, remind us we can't get too comfortable and too complacent in our prayer life, that we need to pray and come before you, lay before you, give ourselves completely to you as if our lives depended on it, because they do. Lord, show us, remind us how to pray, how to make our pleas to you, Lord, our cries to you, oh God. Lord, bridge the gap, the distance that may have come between us and you, Lord. Bring us together, reunite us with your presence and with your word, with your spirit. Lord, bring us together with you on one accord. And Lord, help us, Lord, to be in your will. Help us to recognize when we need to confess. Lord, give us wisdom to make good decisions, to make good choices. Lord, bless us with inner peace and joy and the confidence of knowing that you are with us. Lord, bless us with your power, with your authority as you see fit. Lord, help us to be a reflection of Christ in all that we do. And Lord, equip us with the whole armor of God. And Lord, we come to you also for healing and well-being. And Lord, help us to be aware of the fact that all we need is already on the inside of us, because you dwell in us, Lord. We are carriers of your light, of your power, and of your peace. And Lord, we offer up a prayer of praise, Lord, as Hannah prayed, and she said, "My heart exalts in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth derides my enemies, because I rejoice in your salvation." Lord, we offer up a prayer of thanksgiving. Lord, in your word, Ephesians 1:16-17 says, "I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him." Lord, we pray for renewal. Lord, create in us a clean heart and renew in us the right spirit. Lord, we pray that your will be done. Our Father, our God, is in the heavens, and he does all that he pleases. Let our plea for mercy come before you, and pray to the Lord your God for us, for all this remnant, because we are left but a few. As your eyes see us, that the Lord your God may show us the way that we should go and the things that we should do. Lord, we pray for your kingdom to come. We pray for perseverance. Romans 12:12, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another and in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may one voice glorify God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray for the proclamation of the gospel. Lord, that the gospel would continue to go forth. Lord, we pray for the love of Christ to be in us and around us. We pray for the nations, Lord, for the government, local, nationally, and global. Lord, other countries where there is war, where there is pain, where there is violence, Lord, we just pray that you would step in and preserve your people. Lord, even locally with our social situations, Lord, we just pray that you would intervene, that you would make a way. We know that you are a creative God, that you can create a way out of no way when no way is seen. And Lord, let us reflect, and I appreciate Holy Weekend because it's an annual reminder, even though we're mindful of this at all times, but this is a time when the globe is watching, when we remind ourselves of how Jesus died on the cross and how he rose on the third day. And this is where salvation comes from, Lord, that we believe it in our heart and we confess it with our mouths that Jesus Christ is Lord. And this is the reminder to the world that Jesus is Lord. And Lord, I pray that you would touch the hearts of your people, those who have doubts, those who once believed, but now they're questioning their belief because they've been listening and looking at the world, and now they are confused and unsure of what they believe. Lord, I pray that you would give them clarity in who you are so that there is no doubt in their minds. So when they are feeling double-minded, where they are tossed back and forth between, do I believe, do I not believe? Lord, even people that are ridiculing Easter, Lord, I feel for them because they know not what they do. Lord, reveal yourself to all people. Show them who they are, Lord. And Lord, help us, and blessed are we who believe without seeing, who use our faith. Even though we have seen evidence, we see you move and work every day. But then there are those who would still deny it. Lord, I pray that you would just open their eyes, that, Lord, you would take the scales off their eyes so that they can see you for who you truly are, and that they would be saved, and that they would go and proclaim your word as well. And Lord, we just thank you and ask for your blessings upon this service and upon the word that goes forth today. Lord, bless every listener, that they would have an ear to hear what it is you have to say. And Lord, that you would give them the wisdom and the resources that they need to carry out your word, to carry out their purpose and their assignment. Lord, bless the pastor, bless First Lady. And we just thank you, Lord, for this 19th year. Lord, as you continue to bless this church, as you continue to bless everyone who is connected to this church, bless every member, every friend, every visitor, every listener to Blog Talk Radio. Lord, bless their ears, bless their hearts, bless our lives, bless everything about us, and let us be a witness wherever we go, that people will be drawn to you as we lift you up. And Lord, we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
life is not my own. I give myself away so you can use me, Lord. Amen. Power in prayer. I'm going to just thank Pastor Janine folks for praying and making our request known to God. We appreciate you and blessings. Blessings. Okay. Thank you. I am truly enjoying the service today, and I hope you are too. With more to come, I'd like to say thank you for allowing me to be your presiding person. And as always, if you have been blessed by this Saturday worship service, then be a blessing to others and let them know that this Saturday worship service is happening. Share the love, the joy, and the blessing. Amen. You know, happy anniversary, 19 blessed years running for Christ Ministries, happy Easter, and just happy Resurrection weekend tomorrow, Resurrection Day on tomorrow. Everybody enjoy your day. Jesus is the reason for the season. We just thank you for Jesus. Amen. Okay. Time for the preach word. A message from God. The best part, icing on the cake. The next voice you will hear following this song selection is our very own man of God, brother, assistant pastor, Jonathan Tate. Prepare to receive assistant pastor Jonathan Tate coming his own way with the word from the Lord. Amen.
You thought I was the devil.
Hallelujah. What a song. What a song. Good morning, all Blog Talk Radio listeners all around the world. Let us pray. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, you thought we were worth saving. You thought we were worth dying for. Nobody else thought that we were worth dying for, but you, the only Savior of the world, you thought enough of us to be willing to be beaten for our sins. And Lord, we thank you and praise you for sending your only Son down the cross for a sinful world. Because of your love, you did that, Father. And we are thankful. Father, I ask that you let this message that you have given me to preach to your people, let it be a blessing. Let it purify our hearts. Let it sink into our hearts. Let it sink into our ears, so that we will be followers of your word and not hearers of your word only. Father, I just ask that you move me completely out of the way, and you have your way, because it's all about you and it's not about me today. This weekend is all about you. So I ask that you have your way during this sacred time that you have given me to preach. Let your word be purified in people's heart. And I just ask these other blessings, these things and all other blessings, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Good morning, all Blog Talk Radio listeners all around the world. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Well, as many of you know, there has been a schedule change with the preachers. But just so you know, this is Pastor Terrence Tate, and I will be preaching today. The message that the Lord gave me for the listening audience is this. There's only one Savior. His name is Jesus. And this message is mainly targeted towards the unsaved individuals that are listening. Once again, the message title for today is There is Only One Savior, and His name is Jesus. And the scriptures that the Lord wants me to use is Acts chapter 4, verse 12, which reads as follows. There is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. And the second scripture that the Lord wants me to use is Luke chapter 19, verse 10. And that says, For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save those who are lost. You know, We have a tendency to think that there is one more than one way to heaven. But no, there's not. Jesus is the only Savior. Jesus is the only one who was willing to save, to die on the cross for the sins of the whole world. It says in John chapter 1 verse 29, it says, Behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world. Then it says in John chapter 6 verse 35, I am the bread of life. Whoever believes in me will never thirst again. I want to ask all the unsaved listeners that are listening today, I want to ask them a question. And the question is, who are you believing in? Do you believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven, or do you believe that there is more than one way to get to heaven? Because if you believe that there is more than one way to get to heaven, your belief system is off, because Jesus is the only way to get to heaven. Jesus is the only way to experience the saving power of God in your own life. Jesus is the only one who can forgive you of your sins, past, present, and future. So who are you believing in? Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. Folks, you cannot get to heaven if you believe in more than one God, because Jesus is the only true and living God. He said in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save those who are lost. You will not be able to get saved by believing in Buddha. You will not be able to get saved by believing in Muhammad. You will not be able to get saved by believing in Confucius, because Jesus is the only Savior." It said in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, it says this: "There is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved." In Romans chapter 10, verse 13, it says, "Anyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." And that scripture is talking about anyone who calls on the name of Jesus shall be saved. See, when you deny Jesus, you are rejecting the resurrected King. You are rejecting the Lord of Lords. You are rejecting the Prince of Peace. You are rejecting the everlasting God. So, whoever you believe in besides God, if you believe in anybody else besides the true and living God, your belief system is off. Your belief system is all messed up. And I want to tell you something. In order to experience the saving power of the true and living God, the only person that you should believe in, that the only God that you should believe in is Jesus Christ, because he was willing to be beaten beyond recognition for your sins. He was willing to wash your sins away in his own blood. He's willing to deliver you from yourself and from your past, present, and future sins. And the only way he can deliver you from your past, present, and future sins is if you will believe in him. Believe that he is Lord. Romans 10:9-10, in Romans 10:9-10, it says this: "If you confess with your mouth that and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord and that God has raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. People, Jesus is waiting for you to surrender your life to him so that you can inherit eternal life. You can't experience eternal life in heaven if you believe in another God besides Jesus Christ, the true Savior of the world, the one who said, "I am the bread of life. Whoever believes in me will never thirst again." You cannot experience eternal life in heaven if you don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And if you don't believe that he is, your belief system is off. If you want to be set free from yourself and from your sins, past, present, and future, Jesus is waiting on you to say yes. He's not waiting on you to say no. Jesus is waiting on you to say yes. Because let me tell you something, folks. He was willing to say yes for you. He was willing to be beaten beyond recognition for you. There is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. If you don't want to be welcomed into heaven and into eternal life, keep on doing what you're doing. But if you want to experience the saving grace of Jesus Christ, come on, surrender your life to Jesus. Give it all to him. Because it says in John chapter 3, verses 16 through 18, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Those who do not believe that Jesus is Lord have been condemned already." You do not want to hear Jesus say, "Those who do not believe that I am God have been condemned already." You want to hear Jesus say, welcome into my kingdom. Welcome into my kingdom. Thank you for surrendering your life. You want to hear Jesus say, "You are my child now." What am I saying to you when I say all this? What I'm saying to you is there is only one Savior. His name is Jesus. He's waiting for you to surrender your life to him so that he can clean you up from yourself and from your sins. It's in John, in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, it says, if you confess with your mouth if you confess your sins to God, God is faithful and just to forgive your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. If there is anybody listening who is willing to give their life up for Jesus, he's waiting for you. He's waiting for you. And this is your opportunity to experience eternal life. This is your opportunity to have your sin, to surrender your life to Jesus so that he could wash your sins away in his own blood. Because who else was willing to bleed out for you on the cross? Who else was willing to be spit on for you? Nobody but Jesus was willing to do that. And for those of you who don't want Jesus to be a part of your life, you don't know what you're missing. For those of you who don't want Jesus to be a part of your life, you don't know what you're missing. You are missing out on the greatest blessing that ever was created. Jesus was created by God. Jesus was willing to tell his Father, I will go to the cross for a sinful world. Even though Jesus didn't want to go to that cross, he told his Father, Father, I'll go to the cross for the sins of the whole world. I'm willing to take the beating. So my brothers and sisters can experience eternal salvation and eternal life in heaven. Jesus did that for you. You know why? Because he is the only Savior. There is no other Savior of the world. There is no other. Nobody else but Jesus said, I will go to the cross for a sinful world. The Dalai Lama couldn't even say, I will go to the cross for the sins of the whole world. The only person who did that was Jesus. So, if you don't want Jesus to be a part of your life you are missing out on the greatest blessing of all. You are missing out on the greatest blessing that was created. Because Jesus gave his life for the whole world. Nobody else was willing to do what Jesus did for us. Nobody else was willing to go through what Jesus went through. Like the song said, Jesus thought you were worth dying for. Jesus thought you were worth saving. Jesus knew that you needed your heart cleansed. So he was willing to die for your sins. All you have to do is believe that Jesus is real. And he, you don't even have to worry about what you're doing right now. All you have to do is surrender your life to Jesus. Because, let me tell you something, folks. Jesus has been waiting on you to surrender your life ever since he died for you over 2,000 years ago. Now, I want all the unsaved listeners that are listening to pray this prayer after me. If you want to get saved, say, Lord God, my Savior, is it, Lord Jesus, my Savior, I am willing to surrender my life to you, the only wise God, because I want to experience your saving grace. I want to be welcomed into heaven when I die. I want to know that I am welcomed into eternal dwellings. I don't want to live this sinful life anymore. I want to be delivered. I want to be set free. And I want to be set apart for your work and for your glory. I believe, even when nobody else believes, that you are God. I believe that you are God, and you are God alone. You will always be God. You've always been God. And I'm sorry I've rejected you. And Father, it won't happen again. If you prayed that prayer with me, then you are saved. All you have to do is believe that Jesus is the only Savior. And once you believe that Jesus is the only Savior, you have become what 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man be in Christ, you are a new creature. The old things have passed away, and all things become new. For those of you who didn't accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you don't have to dress up. You don't have to worry about what you have on. All you have to do is give Jesus your heart and tell him, Lord, I believe that you are the true and living God. And I believe that you have always been the true and living God. Because, can I tell you something? Jesus will never stop loving you for who you are. He's always loved you. Jesus will never stop loving you for who you are. All you have to do is surrender your life to him. And he will make you into who he wants you to be. And to those of you who did surrender your life to him, welcome. Welcome home. And you will be rewarded when you get to heaven. Because you chose Jesus over your past. You chose Jesus over Satan. And Satan has no power over you unless you give it to him. To those of you who did surrender your lives to Jesus, can I ask you to do something? When you experience the stronghold of Satan, Jesus, I believe in you and you alone, and I don't believe in Satan anymore. Satan has no grip over me because you gave me new life. What am I saying to you? I'm saying to you, there's only one Savior. His name is Jesus. Nobody else can save you from your sins. Nobody else can deliver you out of the bondage. Nobody else can bring you from darkness into his marvelous light. Only Jesus can do that. And he can do that because he loves you and he washed your sins away in his own blood because he was willing to sacrifice his whole life. Even though it cost Jesus everything, he was willing to do that for you. He was willing to give up his life for you. Nobody else was. Only the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords was willing to do that. And his name is Jesus. And don't let people tell you Well, Jesus didn't do anything for you. Jesus did everything for you when it came to the cross. He paid for your sins so that you could live an eternal life with him, so that you could live a sinful life, so that you could live a sinless life, so that you could be made into who God wanted to be. As I close this message today, what Jesus wants everybody to know is if we didn't have Jesus, we wouldn't be here today. If we didn't have Jesus, there will be no love in the world. If we didn't have Jesus, I don't know where we would be today. But because we have Jesus, we have everything we need. We have everything we need. Our gracious God, our Heavenly Father, oh, what a word. What a word you have given me to preach to your children. Father, you gave me this word two months ago, but you told me to hold off on preaching this word till now. And I'm glad you did, because you are the only Savior we have. You are the only. Your word says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, "He who knew no sin became sin for us." You're the only one who can do that. You became sin for us, even when we didn't deserve to be forgiven for the sins that we committed. Father, we thank you. Father, I thank you that you have given me this word. Because, Father, your word went out to the people the way you wanted your word to go out. And I give you the praise. I give you all the glory and all the honor that's due your name today. Because you and you alone deserve every ounce of praise that's been given unto you. It's in your precious and holy name I pray this prayer. Amen and amen.
Yes, yes, amen, amen, amen. That was amazing. I don't really know that there's a lot that I can say to that. I mean, this whole entire weekend is about the magnification of Jesus. Good Friday, we know today he's still in the grave, but tomorrow, tomorrow being Resurrection Sunday. You know, there's nobody, no matter how much we love our family, our friends, those around us, you know, we think we know unconditional love and we think that we're capable of giving or loving someone unconditionally. The only unconditional love that has ever been was what Jesus did on the cross for us. Because I don't know about anybody else. I might let you borrow my son for a couple of days because he's pretty self-sufficient, you know. But you can't keep him. You can't have him. You have to give him back, you know. So Jesus did what he did for us because he loves us unconditionally. And he died once for all. And so the word that you preached today, Pastor Terrence Tate, was amazing, magnifying and making it be known and making it be perfectly clear that it is only through the name of Jesus that you're saved. You know, people say, you know, I believe in God, I believe in God. You know, nobody's even mentioning the Holy Spirit if there's no Jesus. But people use the term God, and they throw that around a lot. But God could be your dining room chair or your favorite meal or, you know, whatever the place or thing or whatever it is could be. But there is no relationship, Father, without the Son. And because God cannot look upon sin, not only were we turned away from him or his back turned away from us, but he actually forsook his own Son because Jesus became sin for us. So when you talk about an unconditional love, he put himself in a position to have his Father turn his back on him just for us. So the word was amazing. Everything about this service has been right on point. So Pastor Terrence Tate, thank you so much for the word that you brought to us today. The reminder that your eternal life hinges strictly on your belief in Jesus Christ. Everything hinges on your belief in Jesus Christ. And so we thank God for the word that you brought to us today with the power and the fire. I heard the energy in your voice today. And so we just pray that those who heard the word today and were not saved took the opportunity to confess Christ as their Lord and Savior. And if not, we will continue to pray for you. But just like Pastor Jonathan Tate said, time ain't long. So you think you might have time, but you very well may not. So you don't want to lose out on the opportunity. So thank you, Pastor Terrence, for the word that you brought to us today. We are beyond grateful. Thank you so very much. Amen. Amen. All right, y'all. Happy Saturday. I know y'all just heard my voice yesterday, but that's okay. It's no problem. It's a wonderful day. It's Saturday. And so we want to continue to say happy 19th anniversary to Running for Christ Ministries. We have been a ministry of teaching, learning, and doing for 19 years. I have been a part of the family for 13 years, but I feel like I've been there since the beginning. Is that amazing? Excuse me, time is moving on, and it just doesn't seem like it's been 19 years, but what a blessing. God has been faithful, and he has truly done what he said he would do, and so we are also very grateful. And again, we celebrate, like people celebrate their birthdays. It's my birthday all month. We are celebrating our church anniversary, amen, for the entire month of April, amen. So tomorrow, Resurrection Sunday, April 17th, 2022, we will have our in-person worship service beginning at 10 a.m. with our praise team leading us in song and in worship. We will also hear the preached word by our own pastor, assistant pastor, Jonathan Tate. You're welcome to join us as we celebrate. All we ask is that you wear a mask in the sanctuary. If you don't have one, no worries. One will be provided for you. You can also listen to our service on Blog Talk Radio at 1 p.m. by visiting our church website at rfcm.org and clicking on Recorded Sunday Services if you are not yet ready to attend in person or you're just not able to make it out. Amen. Amen. Usually every Sunday, Deaconess Kathy Clyburn has her Bring Back the Family show on Blog Talk Radio. But because tomorrow is Easter / Resurrection Sunday, the show will be canceled so that you can spend time with your family. So again, tomorrow, Deaconess Kathy Clyburn's show, Bring Back the Family, will not be on. It will be canceled for tomorrow due to the celebration of Easter, so you can spend time with your families. Amen? Amen. Also, don't forget, every Wednesday at 6 p.m., we hold our Bible reading class here on Blog Talk Radio. Deacon Eric Reed will be teaching from the book of Psalms, chapters 126 to 130. Pastor has already sent out the email. The questions are available online. Click on Bible classes on the tab at our Running for Christ Ministries, rfcm.org church website. Or if you're in person on Sunday, you know, just go to the back table and grab yourself a set of questions and take some for anyone else who might want to participate. Also, as a reminder, check the back table either on your way in or your way out on Sundays, because that's where all the good stuff is. And then if you mess around and you check after church, you might miss the cupcakes or something. You know, there's always something sweet, you know, back there. Pen pal, she gets real creative. And I'm sorry, this baby Holy Ghost, and that's Lady Sheila overall, for those of you who don't know her like we do. There's always something cool back there, sweet back there when it comes to holidays like this. So you always want to make sure that you check the back table. Amen? Amen. Every Saturday, Bodice Breaker Ministries holds their ladies Bible class from 11:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. Pastor Janice Tate is the teacher for the class, and so if you'd like to participate or listen in, go to our Christian Resources page on our church website, rfcm.org, and you will get the information there that you need to be able to participate in the ladies Bible class. Amen? Amen. If you would like to pay your tithes and offerings or give anything to Run for Christ Ministries, rfcm.org is the place. And click on the tithes and offerings tab if you would like to give to the preacher that preached today, Associate Pastor Terrence Tate. I know he threw everybody off this week because I'm listening to him, and I'm thinking, wait, this is not First Saturday. Is this First Saturday? No, wait a minute. That's because that's what we're so used to. But there is a schedule change, and I actually like the change because now it just kind of, you know, breaks up how it was, and so it threw everybody off. But today is actually Third Saturday, so Pastor Terrence Tate brought the word to us today. And so if you want to give a love offering for him, go to our church website, rfcm.org, click on tithes and offerings. Just remember to specify Pastor Terrence Tate's name, and your offering will be given to him accordingly. Amen. The Lord Jesus bless you in advance for your kindness in sharing with us and with them. Amen. Amen. So because of what Jesus has done for us, I want to read you something. And I just want you to really listen. This is your inspirational, this is not your devotional, this is your inspirational verse or chapter or whatever that I want to read to you. So this week I want to take a little extra time because it is Resurrection weekend and read to you John chapter 17. All right. So John chapter 17, it's entitled The Prayer of Jesus. After saying all these things, Jesus looked up to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so he can give glory back to you, for you have given him authority over everyone. He gives eternal life to each one you have given him. And this is the way to have eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the one you sent to earth. I brought glory to you here on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. Now, Father, bring me into the glory we shared before the world began. I have revealed to you the ones you gave me from this world. They were always yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything I have is a gift from you. For I have passed on to them the message you gave me. They accepted it and know that I came from you, and they believe you sent me. My prayer is not for the world, but for those you have given me, because they belong to you. All who are mine belong to you, and you have given them to me, so they bring me glory. Now I am departing from the world. They are staying in this world, but I am coming to you. Holy Father, you have given me your name. Now protect them by the power of your name so that they will be united just as we are. During my time here, I protected them by the power of the name you gave me. I guarded them so that not one was lost except the one headed for destruction, as the scriptures foretold. Now I am coming to you. I told them many things while I was with them in this world, so they will be filled with my joy. I have given them your word, and the world hates them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but to keep them safe from the evil one. They do not belong to this world any more than I do. Make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is truth. Just as you sent me into the world, I am sending them into the world. And I give myself as a holy sacrifice for them so they can be made holy by your truth. I am praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one, as you are in me, Father, and I am in you. And may they be in us so that the world will believe you sent me. I have given them the glory you gave me so they may be one as we are one. I am in them and you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. Father, I want these whom you have given me to be with me where I am. Then they can see all the glory you gave me because you loved me even before the world began. Oh, righteous Father, the world doesn't know you, but I do. And these disciples know you sent me. I have revealed you to them, and I will continue to do so. Then your love for me will be in them, and I will be in them. Amen. And so we know after this, Jesus was arrested and began his trek to the cross. Not only did he come to die for us, but he loved us so much that he prayed for us as well. And so if you can't say anything else, if we can't find anything else to say, we will just say, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. And so speaking of prayers, we do have some prayers that we want you all to pray. Obviously, pray for everyone, everywhere, all of the time. Special prayers go out to me. Yes, I do need special prayers, amen, because I will be having knee surgery on Tuesday, and so I'm already believing God for complete and total healing. But you know the word says where two or more are gathered, there he is. And so I know that y'all are going to be praying, and the doctors are going to be, and they're going to be like, wow, that came out even more perfect than I thought. Like, we've never seen nothing like this, amen. So please keep me in prayer as I go to surgery on Tuesday. Also continue to pray for Darius Freeman, his mom, Keela, and their family. Also Mother Irma, Tyrone Hamilton, the father of Run for Christ Ministries. I love when Pastor O says that. Also continue to pray for all of our mothers on the move, Mother Cheryl, Mother Marilyn, and Mother Persia. Amen. Continue to pray for all bereaved families everywhere. Continue to pray for our world, our leaders, and our nation. Continue to pray for those suffering in Ukraine and all the people that live in that country that are still trying to, you know, flee, you know, and leave just because of the devastation and destruction that is going on there. Continue to pray for our president and all of the leaders of this country, that they are guided and led in the right direction for the United States of America. Amen. And let's pray to actually be united. Amen. Amen. So, third Saturday of the month, April 16th. So happy birthday to all of the Blog Talk listeners all around the world who celebrated this past week or earlier in the month. We got one birthday that I know of. Now, I know Minister Janine, like I said, her birthday is this month, but I don't know what day it is. But happy birthday to Minister Janine. Amen. And the birthday that I have on my list belongs to Nedra. Amen. She celebrated her birthday on April 12th. She's a very sweet young lady. And so we say happy, happy birthday to her and everyone else who's celebrating this month, who y'all don't want me to say y'all names, but that's okay. I'm going to get to that. One day you will. Amen. Amen. And last but not least is your devotional for today, and it's entitled Celebrate We Will, and this is by Chelsea DeMatteis. Amen. So the verse is, he must increase, I must decrease, and that's John chapter 3, verse 30. As we walk toward Easter, looking at Jesus and his life, I find myself so often wondering what it would have been like to have been there watching his life happen. We read through scripture and we glimpse into amazing things about Jesus' life and all that happened to those around him. I get chills when I think about watching his display of love, grace, and truth. Oh, excuse me, his display of love, grace, truth sharing, and obedience to whatever his heavenly Father directed him to do. So each Easter season, I find myself in a posture of awe and wonder. The hope-filled joy of knowing who holds the pen to the pages of my life and who walks alongside me through all my seasons. This, my friends, is good news. If you're like me, I love thinking of Jesus' whole life, not just his years of ministry. I can hardly imagine watching Jesus take his first steps as a wobbly toddler or watching him walk up to be baptized by John the Baptist or to see him feed the 5,000 or to have the honor of hearing him teach the Sermon on the Mount. All of these amazing things we hear and picture, but wow, to actually see them in the flesh sounds like such a gift that I'd give just about anything to see. And while that would be an amazing gift, I am reminded that we have the greatest gift of living on this side of the cross. This side of the cross allows his Spirit, his Holy Spirit, to live inside of you and me. This side of the cross is where death has no more sting. The gift of living on this side of the cross is a gift that we cannot overlook. We have the Word of God in written form that we are able to dig into to learn more about who our Creator is, what his Son's life was really like, and why we need a Savior. We needed a Savior to take our place. It's sitting in that awe and wonder that I am reminded of one of my favorite verses, one that has changed my life forever, and that's John chapter 3, verse 30. He must increase, but I must decrease. There are seven life-changing, powerful, needed words spoken by John the Baptist. Excuse me, these are seven life-changing, powerful, needed words spoken by John the Baptist. These seven words continue to be a reminder to me of the gift Jesus is to all of us daily. Because of Jesus and his life, we are able to live our lives in the posture of decrease so that our lives increase in him. How amazing is that? Our Heavenly Father sent his perfect, sinless Son, Jesus, to come and take on the penalty of all we would ever do just so we would have the opportunity to be made right with him and live eternally together. This leaves me speechless. Jesus had to come and take on all you and I would ever do so we could be eternally right with God forever. He had to. What a powerful, all-consuming love story this is, and it's offered to you and me. We get the choice to accept Christ and all his life was, is, and is to come because Jesus' life, death, and resurrection is what tethers us to eternity. Without one part of it, there will be no opportunity to have the gift of grace and mercy. There is no defeated grave without the cross. The magnitude of John chapter 3, verse 30 carries so much importance of who Jesus is and what his life means to us. Everything he calls us to is so that our lives will be ones that soak up the goodness of God and all he has for us. This means we have to decrease. His life calls us not to be afraid to pick up our cross and to follow him daily. It calls us to love him more than anyone or anything and walk to always hand in hand with his Spirit as we point others back to him. This is what an increase of Christ looks like in our lives. When we die to self to make him known, this is what we get invited into. And this, my sweet friends, is something to celebrate, and celebrate we will. Amen, amen. And we at Running for Christ Ministries wish you all a happy resurrection/Easter Sunday. Many blessings to you and your family as you remember what Jesus has done for you. Amen, amen. And those are your announcements.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Crystal. Between you and Terrence, I
got to
say about 15 times, amen, I done
there
gave my life to Jesus. Oh, wait a minute. Finna get saved again. Okay, I'm good. Amen.
There
ain't it wonderful? Even though we super saved, we can keep getting saved.
Yes. Keep getting saved, yes.
I work with Lachelle Anderson, you know, with the First Fruit Living Ministries every fourth Wednesday of the month. We get out there in front of the church. And one of the things that she always does is some folks come up and actually accept Christ as their Lord and Savior, but then she also gets into those who want to rededicate. And that's me. So she wanted to rededicate. I say, okay, right now. She say, not you, the people who are coming up. I'm like, okay, well,
right
then,
now,
you know, brother,
hey,
need to rededicate.
I'm telling you,
know?
Nothing wrong with that.
But this is the weekend that is all about lifting up Jesus. It's a weekend where we get to be reminded of our Savior and the sacrifice he made for us. And it's also the weekend that speaks to a new what Pastor Terrence talked about from 5:21, Second Thessalonians, Second Corinthians, 5:21. Mm-hmm. We're new creatures in Christ Jesus. The old has passed away. Behold, everything has become new. And so this Christian life for us becomes exciting every single day. It's like being Anna or Simeon. It's like Anna or Simeon. In Luke chapter 2, Jesus put them in a situation where they lived every day in expectation of seeing the Savior. And so that gave them something to wake up every day and look forward to. And he's done the same thing for us. Jesus coming back. Yeah. Pastor Terrence Tate says Jesus said he's going away over there in John chapter. I'm preaching, Jesus. He said over there in John chapter 14, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And I'm coming back to receive you unto myself so you can be with me where I'm at. So we should be living in great expectation every single day. We should be charged up to tell somebody about Jesus, teach somebody in Jesus, or help somebody in or outside the body. Jesus, I'm preaching. It sounds like preaching.
Amen.
Okay.
That's right.
Lord, thank you, Crystal. Because I get
you're
to preaching, I'm off, you know,
already there.
So you don't take but a touch. That's it.
Don't
no,
take
I'm
nothing.
Gone. That's just
amen.
Good service. Yeah, right from the beginning.
Amen,
so,
absolutely.
Thank you, Crystal. Let me get out of here.
You're welcome. All right.
Tell me and we say what's up.
Okay.
Be blessed. Whew. Amen, y'all. We've had a good day. It's been good. It's been good. The fire has been hot, and we thank God for that. Hey, I want to thank Deaconess Kathy Clyburn, always getting all the folks together to come here on Blog Talk Radio and do their thing. Thank God for Deaconess June Rogers, who taught us those five chapters from the first book of Thessalonians and concluded it on today. All of these shows are recorded and archived, so you can always go back and re-listen to them as many times as you want, and it's free. Thank Deaconess Loretta Welch for always showing up for scripture and prayer. Awesome Bible teacher as well. And Janine. Anyway, I just had J9 wrote there. That's how she taught me how to spell her name. But anyway, do an altar call. I know she can preach and encourage. And just put a big old giant smile on your face, okay? But now she's doing altar calls. So I thank God for her and her willingness to always share with Running for Christ. And the reason we call her associate pastor is because she helps me pastor. When she come on here, y'all know how she preached. She is helping me pastor, so she's an associate pastor. That's why we call her that. Amen. And all the rest of them do the same thing. Want to thank everybody at RFCM for all that they've done for these 19 years, especially Lady Sheila. I can safely call her that. You know why? Because Janine called her that, and she didn't get mad. But if you call her, so I just stick with Lady Sheila because she might be listening. So I thank God for her. She has been right by my side all 19 of these years. She went with me up all the hills, and she went with me and hung out with me in all the low valleys of doing this, and she has been right there and faithful. And I thank God for her because, amen, the Lord, only God knows. Only God knows. There's a song by King and Country, and it's entitled, that's a love that only God knows. Only God knows. And part of the song says, there's a love that only God knows. And it's all about, you know, the sacrifices he made for us and all of that. Love the song. Amen. And that's the kind of love I have for my wife. Only God knows how much I love her. Because she is, you talk about a ride or die, She's my ride or die. That's why everything's in her name. Some folks say, what if she just run off? Well, the same God who gave it to me the first time, give it to me again, but she ain't going to do that because she ain't that type. She my ride or die. So I thank God for her and for all of the preachers who helped me pastor at Runner for Christ Ministries, for all of the deacons and deaconess who take care of the needs of the people, and for all of the people, amen, who go out everywhere spreading the word, just like Pastor Terrence Tate did right here. Okay, just so you know, the preaching schedule is on our church website. All you have to do is go to rfcm.org and then hover over rfcm.org, and right there you'll see preaching schedule. Click that on and you can see who's coming up next. As for teaching in the church school here on Saturday, next Saturday, Pastor Jonathan Tate will guide us through 2 Thessalonians. Amen. I love that book. Talking about an end time. That's the end time book right there. Thank God for that. Amen. So that's that schedule there. And you can just ask the teachers when they're up to do their presentations. They're doing their presentations every Sunday in person at church at 9 a.m. So if you want to see the teachers do their presentation finished Pastor Janice Tate class, and this is like that essay you have to do. So they're getting up and they're doing their presentations, and they would probably like to see you there. So get a chance, get up, go out 9 o'clock, see the teachers do their presentation. Amen. God bless you. God keep you. Oh, yeah. Baby Holy Ghost just spoke to her. She's not even here. And she just fussed at me, talking about due to benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace until we all meet again. The whole church said, amen. Let her
the soul.